Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. Today I am Farah Bashir, joined by
Anika Ellis Baby.
She was back this Saturday from Moscow. And before I start and give you guys the headlines for today, I would want Anika to tell me about your trip to Moscow.
Ah, Zastruche, Farah.
Yeah.
I mean, that means hello in a more formal way.
Wait, can you say it again?
Zastruche.
Zastruche. Zastruche.
Yeah, that's hello in a formal way, but privyet because you are my friend.
Privyet to everyone who's watching.
Privyet, Farah. Meня зовут Anika. Очень приятно. It means my name is Anika. Nice to meet you. Anyways,
Who am I sitting next to, you guys? Am I sitting next to my smashy business co-host or am I sitting next to... the regular Anika that I know.
It's the same. You can be two things at once. But thank you for asking. My Russia trip was very beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was organized by the Moscow City Tourism Committee. Mm-hmm. So they brought us in to see what they're doing in Moscow, how Moscow is really friendly for tourists, how it's a safe place, how it's a great place to be, especially, you know, for... And they actually gave us some very insightful statistics. They told us about how ever since the pandemic, mm-hmm. the rush from the UAE to Moscow has increased by around 8 times.
Oh my God.
Which is very crazy. And they say that the UAE is one of the leading audiences, tourists to Moscow. They come in for travel, tourism basically, and they're always checking in all the... 5-star hotels, especially St. Regis in Moscow.
You guys, I think Anika had...
Yeah, I had a lot of interviews with the people there, so I got a chance to interact. And of course, then viewing the city, which is, by the way, a gorgeous city, straight out of a storybook.
But interesting. So
I could make this whole show about
literally,
it.
Literally, we can. So let's, you know what, we can have a different... episode and talk about
let us know if
Anika's
you want a special segment Moscow on Moscow
trip. But let me tell you the stories for today. So Dubai's $6.8 billion initiative aims to attract, hold on to this number, $177 billion investments by 2033. And as well, UAE economy set for 4% growth in 2024 amid global economic uncertainties. And later on, we are going to be talking about, we're going to be stepping away from UAE. Saudi Aramco awards $25 billion contract for gas expansion. Great numbers, Anika.
Great numbers.
Great numbers.
Very exciting news for the GCC region.
Yes, it is. So briefly, I'll be telling you guys. So Dubai has announced, as I said, $6.8 billion investment initiative as part of its foreign direct investment development program. This is aligned with the ambitious D33 economic agenda, and it aims to attract $177 billion in investments by 2033, positioning in Dubai, which, by the way, they're really big numbers. And you know, the whole goal of this is to position Dubai among the world's leading city economies, mm-hmm. which is really because it's they're big numbers, right? And Sheikh Maktoum bin Mohammed, by the way, Dubai's deputy prime minister and minister of France, highlighted the city's integrated economic model assigned to enhance decision making, foster diverse investment opportunities, and as well attract global investments and top talent.
So I've just done a little bit of a research on this, as in I put it mm-hmm. into Google.
Yeah.
So this program is actually a part of Dubai's D33 economic agenda, which and this agenda is all about doubling the size of Dubai's economy to reach 32 trillion dirhams by 2033. Mm-hmm. Very ambitious. But if I was Dubai, I would have done 33 trillion dirhams by 2033, because like just for the number.
I mean, but that's taking just me. It step by step. I would assume, guys, Anika, is the kind of a person that she either goes hard or goes home.
Yes, it's but like, you know, no this between. Initiative, it plans to support 30 private companies to achieve mm-hmm. unicorn status. That means worth over $1 billion. It's supposed to support the growth of private companies through business incubators with 400 of the most promising identified. And they want to make Dubai a global digital economy leader. This yes. is the which is basically the fastest growing, the most attractive global business center, a center for sustainability, economic diversification, and just a place for talented citizens and unicorn businesses. I think this is just yet another push to
for the economy of Dubai
to help boost the economy and to make Dubai like a global business hub.
I agree.
Which has always been the aim. So as people who've been in Dubai for a long time and have seen the change, it comes as no surprise.
You guys, that's the thing, you know, that's what I try to say that all the time. It's that if you have been living in Dubai for so long, you must have seen the growth of Dubai, like regarding a lot of things, and the economy is the biggest thing. So like for mainly, I would say, a lot of businessmen do aspire to come to Dubai to begin their business and invest 100%. Here.
And this has been the story of Dubai since the very beginning.
That's
since
true.
Dubai was formed, there were businesses. It was always about businesses. They always did things to attract traders. In fact, initially, in the history of Dubai, traders used to go to like Iran or so and so, other countries in the region to do a trade.
Yes.
And that's when the UAE or Dubai specifically was like, okay, how do we attract them to come to our shores instead? And they removed tax.
That's true.
So, you know, and they've kept that till now, like except for the corporate tax that has just started.
And that's why, by the way, like, sorry to cut you off, but like, that's why we talked about, I think, last week before your travel, about how millionaires, they're attracting millionaires to come to Dubai, because not only because they want to get people, but because it will be boosting the economy.
100%.
Exactly. Yeah, and by the way, alongside to all of that, like, the whole thing is going to be employing over 33,000 performance indicators. They want to track Dubai's economic progress, and they want to align it with the city's strategic goals, which we all know boosting the economy, and as well, it's all, by the way, for like the goods of the country.
Yeah, boosting the economy, making one of the top three urban economies by 2030.
Literally. I mean, no, of course, now this as well aims to solidify Dubai's status as a global economic hub, which we have been talking about for the past few minutes, and it's well to support international companies and promote overall economic growth in the city, which is honestly major, and I really do see it happen for Dubai.
So like, but that connects us to our next story also.
Exactly, you guys, which is really great. Tell us about that, Annika.
It's about how the UAE economy has set for 4% growth in 2024. And this kind of growth, it comes amid global economic uncertainties.
Of course, you guys, now this all follows with a successful, because they have been successful in 2023. So the GDP hit 1.68 trillion, which is $436 billion. You guys, this is not a small number. This is a huge, huge number, actually. And the non-oil GDP surged to 1.25 trillion, which is $408 billion, marking, hold on, to 6.2% growth. I mean, this is like, it's not a little, it's not a small number. It's a huge, huge number. Don't you think so? It says, I mean, like, yeah, kudos to the UAE for this, for their improvement and their GDP, because the GDP was expected to hit 1.6 trillion and is expected to hit that number, and it keeps on hitting, and it's just like whenever there's like a goal that they want to achieve, the UAE hits it and even crosses the hit.
Yeah, and it's very interesting to see the reason why has the UAE continued, you know?
Yeah.
And like, keep in mind, it's not an easy time globally for the financial markets or in general decisions. We're having quite a few wars around this country.
True.
Coupled with climate change, coupled with elections happening everywhere. There's a lot of interesting changes happening in the economy, and usually this is not a time for markets to do very well. It's a time for markets to go down a little bit so that people actually it's a good time to invest. But you know, before it
but
goes
it's
up,
not a, but it's not like the case in Dubai.
But and the reason why this is because the UAE's government's proactive measures, which as we discussed, like our previous one, you know, it's a lot of foreign investment, stimulus packages. And of course, they are making it so easy to do business in the UAE by reducing tax and flexible work hours. They're making it a very attractive place to be and really shaping it to be the future of business in globally, which I think is obviously these are key reasons why the UAE is doing well. And coupled with all of this is we have the non-oil sectors that are contributing to this majorly, because a lot of the GCC's growth is dependent on like the OPEC oil, countries and the oil. But now the UAE especially is leading the way in doing other things. Like, so we've got renewable energy. We've got one of the largest solar fields in the UAE, in Dubai. Then there's technology, the technology, AI, we are, you know, AI, Sheikh Hamdan, the Crown Prince of Dubai is really leading with the AI sector, trying to involve AI in governmental decisions. We went paperless long ago. Financial services, tourism, construction, real estate.
Of course, I mean, I feel like as well, like the growth is mainly driven by tourism, finance, construction, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yes, oil continues to be a key part, but 100% that there are several other factors contributing, and it's the amount of care and concern that's been given to all of these factors that have really come in to help make the UAE look like the place that it is.
And speaking of that as well, you know, it all aligns perfectly with UAE's vision of 2030, which they have a lot. They have a vision for 2030, and we talked about it. Saudi Arabia does has a vision as well, and we see as well Saudi Arabia improving, and the UAE as well has a vision. So it's very exciting because they have a lot of initiatives that are aimed at economic diversification, innovation, and sustainability. We have seen sustainability being a great topic.
100%. It is, because as I mentioned earlier, like climate change is a pressing concern, and it is very obvious, as a good businessman would, that you look at the long term. And essentially, the long term is, how am I going to survive in the long term? It is by making sure that my company can withstand the effects of climate change. And a good side note for that is you have to look at sustainable measures to keep it running. And
that
I think that's something that the UAE is doing.
That is true.
But you mentioned Saudi, and let's jump into
our
next story.
I mean, you know, the Gulf is like winning at this point. But as Annika said, let's talk about Saudi. Let's give Saudi a bit of love. So Saudi Aramco has announced contracts exceeding $25 billion for the next phases of its expansion projects at Jafara gas field and its main gas network. Now, these initiatives are pivotal in Saudi Arabia's efforts to enhance its gas production and infrastructure. The Jafara field, estimated to hold 200 trillion cubic feet of gas, is undergoing a comprehensive development projected to cost $100 billion. And this ambitious expansion aims to increase Saudi Aramco's gas production over 60% by, hold on, 2030. And the number keeps on showing up all the time, significantly, you know, like the state energy firm's position in the global energy market. Let's talk, like, let's explain it briefly. So Saudi Aramco announced the $25 billion in contracts for the next phase of its expansion projects.
So you have to keep in mind here, if you don't mind me.
Of course, go on.
This Jafura gas field is Saudi Arabia's largest unconventional gas field. And this is maybe one of the few that's not linked to oil. So in some ways, this is a shift, because Saudi, which used to be very oil dependent, is now jumping into gas, which in some sense is also greener. So that's an interesting thing. And Aramco is obviously going to increase production from the Jafura gas field to 2 billion standard cubic feet, as you mentioned, the big numbers, you know. And this is all set to become a main network for their gas production. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to add 4,000 kilometers of pipelines to increase the network's capacity. The companies that they have signed deals with and mm-hmm. contracts with are companies like Hyundai Engineering and Construction and Sinopec.
As well, speaking of that, sorry to cut you off, but because you said about companies that they signed contracts with, yesterday I sat here with Richard, mm-hmm. and we spoke about the deal that they have signed with Geely. Because you know, like they are all looking towards cars that are electric and sustainable and better for the environment, because all of these are, I would say, factors that countries are looking to implement by the great number, which is 2030, and everyone is like really looking forward for it, including I am really looking forward for it, because at this point Saudi Arabia and the UAE are really so keen on 2030, which is exciting.
I think it's interesting. I wonder mm-hmm. if after 2030, right now I know that it's more support
yes.
and more like let's build. But once 2030 hits and like targets are being achieved and so on and so forth, I wonder if the competition will, if it will become competition and if it will become extremely cutthroat.
It will.
Which will then be very interesting.
Haven't we
to
talked
see.
About how Saudi wants to be like Abu Dhabi and Dubai?
Yes.
Remember, you and I sat here and we talked about it, and it's like, it just like shows me, it buckles my mind, like, really, at this point, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, and Abu Dhabi, and both of them are actually, you know, they have the same structure, which is environment, economy, tourism, and, you know, like the, it just like the equation is the same. However, we're just like waiting for the output in 2030.
Yeah, and you best bet that there are some great moves being made by either governments. Mm-hmm. Very interesting stuff to stay tuned for. But either way, both are shaping up to be great business hubs.
Exactly.
So this is a good time for entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
It's a good time to be starting up your own thing, especially for entrepreneurs with a more liberal mindset, because let's face it, a lot of people in the West still believe that the Middle East is not the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
But
it definitely
you know,
is, you guys. I mean, it,
but like
sure.
those who are yes. open to it uh-huh. and those who have that real sense of open-mindedness can know that this is a promising up-and-coming region. And
agreed. I agree, you guys.
Great moves to be made.
Well,
on that
guys?
Positive uplifting note.
This brings us to the end of our show for today. Stay tuned tomorrow, same time. Same place.
Goodbye. Bye.